This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with Wells Tech. Episode 388 for Tuesday, April 14th, 2015. Back from my trip to beautiful, sunny, warm Austin, Texas, and Bloomington, Indiana. And back with me, probably still there in Minnesota, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally. I came pretty close to Mississippi in the process. I mean, I was like an exit away.
So. Your lucky day. You should have made that trip, man. Have you ever been there?
Oh, yeah. I've driven through. I don't think I've ever lingered there.
Okay. But,
I'm going to take another vacation in June, and we'll be driving through. We're actually staying in New Orleans, but we will drive through Mississippi as well on our way to Florida. So you'll have to give me some of the hot spots, the biker bars and the places that we should hang out a little bit once we get down there.
I'm definitely up on all that. Give you a good place to get some fried catfish and fried dill pickles. So how about that?
Okay, let me think about that.
All right. So beautiful sunny here in New Ulm. Officially announced this afternoon that tomorrow is Arbor Day on
That's
the Martin Luther College campus.
Red letter day on the college campus.
Oh my goodness. There is much excitement in the air and no classes to be had for anyone. So
Arbor
happy day.
It's just one of those days where, it's probably the only day in the life of a teenager or young 20 where they look forward to manual labor as it were. So kind of a strange paradox, I think.
Yeah, maybe we should explain if there are people listening who aren't familiar. It's a synod school tradition that there is a day out of school so that the students can band together and give us some free labor to clean up our campuses and spruce things up, a little spring cleaning. And it's always a big question of when it's going to be, when do I not have to do my homework? So they actually announced it this afternoon officially through the various communication channels here on campus so that students know. They moved chapel up to 8 a.m. Normally it's at about 10:30 each morning, but tomorrow it'll be at 8 a.m. And then the students will get busy and do some cleanup work around campus. So you take 700 students and give them a few hours to rake and spruce up the campus, then things can look a lot better.
So, after the harsh winters that we have, it does a lot of damage. So happy Arbor Day in advance to everybody there on the MLC campus and Arbor Days across the world. We have a little show to run, a little cleanup of our own, Sally, as we are cleaning up the final couple chapters of our book, What's Best Next?
Seems like we've been figuring out what's best next for quite a while now, Martin. Time for us to get on with things, I guess.
Move on. Yes. So we're in part 7, entitled Living This Out. And it's kind of a good little recap. If you've been following along at home, we've kind of walked through different stages of trying to figure out stewardship and personal productivity in the life of a Christian. We talked about kind of the reason that you want to be productive, kind of going back to the gospel motivation part, and then got a little practical, along the way with some steps and some do's and don'ts. And now we've come full circle, and I'm going to probably take a couple minutes to read a little 500-word essay that Matt Perman wrote for us, just to sum up all these chapters that we've been going through, just in a nice little package that if you haven't read it, you'll know kind of what we've gone through over the last number of months. What stuck out to you, Sally, with these last closing wrap-up chapters.
Well, I think what Matt was trying to convey is that it's great to be personally productive and to keep all these motivational thoughts in mind. It's certainly a positive way to plan out your work and work towards your goals and things. But it does have an impact on a larger scale than just your personal productivity. Certainly it affects your organization. For those of you that are in churches and schools, or associated with a church or school as a lay member, whatever it may be, your productivity in those roles does have an impact on the organization. And so it's not all about me and my desire to get things checked off my list. It is about improving our organizations. And since our organizations are Christ-centered, obviously it's going to forward the mission of those organizations by being productive. So I thought that was a great way to look at it and to kind of expand the circles a bit.
Yeah, he talked about the four dimensions of productivity. You talked about organizations, but obviously personal life, work life. And then he spent a lot of time talking about society. I think those were kind of the focus in these last couple chapters, where he's really talking about, well, yeah, you can be personally productive. Yeah, you can work with those around you. But you, the Christian, has been placed within the context of a society. Whether that's the town that you live in or what, you have an impact that can be made, as you mentioned, beyond just your organization, but in that community in which you live in. He quoted, which was kind of interesting, he quoted Jeremiah 29:7, which says, "Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." Which was kind of not a passage that we hear from the lectern or the pulpit very often on Sunday, but here Jeremiah is providing God's word to people in exile, not a great situation, and he's saying, "Hey, you need to make the most of this. You need to make this a good situation, because this is where you are." And that's a really healthy and positive attitude. And that's only possible, I think, as we read in previous chapters, with that gospel-motivated, gospel-driven approach to life versus, kind of this reclusive, bar the doors. I'm going to just kind of wait it out and then hopefully God will take me to heaven, at the end of all this. Totally different approach, right?
Definitely. I'm just wondering if I'm like in exile here in New Ulm. It just kind of made me wonder a little. But we're aliens here in this world, so we could all kind of consider ourselves in exile and longing for a better place.
Right.
And we do want to do the work that's before us, work while it's day, carry out that great commission, the work that God has given us, and do that by serving others, living our faith, letting our light shine in all that we do.
So my digital book just stopped page turning, Sally. I'm stuck on...
Oh, shucks. Mine's not stuck.
I bet your book never gets... Your page never gets stuck.
Look at this. They turn just fine. Oh. Wow.
Hey, it's back. It's back in business here.
I'm glad that you're man enough to admit that, though, that little moment.
Awesome. That recap I was talking about, I'd like to just spend a quick minute reading it for you, if I can find it here. Just a minute. I know I highlighted it.
Yeah.
Here it is. What's best next in 500 words? So just permit me to quickly read through this, and then we can kind of pick our own highlights from these chapters. So gospel-driven productivity in a nutshell, he calls it. So he says, we need to look to God to define for us what productivity is, rather than to simply subscribe to the ambiguous concept of what matters most. For God is what matters most. When we do this, we don't enter a realm of spiritual weirdness, as we might fear. Good secular thinking remains relevant as a gift of God's common grace. Neither do we enter a realm of over-spiritualization, where the things we do every day don't matter. Instead, the things we do every day take on even greater significance because they are avenues through which we serve God and others. In fact, the gospel teaches us that the good of others, this is a big point he made, is to be the main motive in all that we do and the chief criterion by which we determine what's best next. This is not only right, but also is the best way to be productive, as the best business thinkers are showing. More important, when we do this in God's power and as offering to Him, He is glorified and shown to be great in the world. In order to be the most effective in this way in our current era of massive overload and yet incredible opportunity, we need to do four things to stay on track and lead and manage our lives effectively. And that's the DARE acronym: define, architect, reduce, execute. The result of doing these things is not only our own increased peace of mind and ability to get things done, but also the transformation of the world by the gospel, because it is in our everyday vocations that we take our faith into the world and the light of the gospel shines, both in what we say and in what we do. If you only take five productivity practices away from this book, and here they are, learning and especially implementing productivity practices can be hard. We know that. It is easy to forget what we learned or forget how to apply it. One remedy is to keep coming back to this book, of course. But if you take away only five things from this book, take these. Number one, foundation. Look to God in Jesus Christ for your purpose, security, and guidance in all of life. Number two, purpose. Give your whole self to God and then live for the good of others to His glory and show that He is great in the world. Three, guiding principle. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. Be proactive in this and even make plans to do good. He made a big point of that as well. Number four, core strategy. Know what's most important and put it first. And number five, core tactic. Plan your week. Every week, then as things come up throughout the day, ask, is this what's best next? Then either do them right away, or if you can't, slot them into your calendar or actions list so that you will be sure to do them at the right time. I didn't count if that was 500 words, but that pretty well sums up the book.
Actually, I think something important is missing there, Martin, maybe a number zero, because in the first part of the book, he spent a lot of time talking about forgiveness and that gospel motivation. And in that recap, it almost sounded a little legalistic. Yeah, so I think number zero should be you're forgiven in Christ. And He was the perfect planner, and we're covered and can live in that freedom, and knowing that then motivates you to do those five core things. So
yep, he spent a long time talking about he that did. So yeah, it's definitely gospel driven, not law driven productivity, which is a differentiator between this kind of approach and some of the other, you know, systems out there. I think there's some good things you can pull out of a lot of different approaches, but I think he spent, and with good reason, a lot of time on that, on the motivation side. Why are we doing this? And where do our purposes come from? They obviously come from God. Mm-hmm. So, and that's perfect timing for this season that we're in. We just exited Lent, and now the Easter joy that we have. That boy, if that doesn't motivate you, then boy, nothing will.
Yeah, I've made some changes because of the book. I don't know about you specifically, but definitely spending more time in planning and being more consistent in my planning. And also, I've kind of started blocking out time on my calendar. One of the things that we shared, I think it was maybe in section four of the book, and this is just a crude mock-up of it, basically, but we have a PDF document out there that mimics a time map that Matt shared in the book, where he actually encouraged you to map pretty much every minute of your life and a general flow for your week, for your time at home, for your time at work, for big chunks of time that you're going to dedicate to certain things. Not that you're going to live by that time map, meticulously and be devastated if you miss a block of time that you had scheduled or whatever, but that it gives you some guidelines to live by in general on the normal work weeks or whatever, when other things don't come up. And I think just kind of having that in place for me has made a big difference, that I'm trying to be more particular about what I spend my time on, and also not distracted. I'm kind of at times like the dog in Up when the squirrel goes by and he says squirrel and heads down a different path. And I'm trying to break those kind of habits because of this book. So.
And that's easy to do in this age that we're living with all the multiple inputs that we have, social networks, the distractions, and how reachable and accessible we all are at this point. You're via email, phone, text, walk-ups. It's just a distracting environment, and to really try and focus is incredibly important. Yeah. I too, kind of the life-changing aspects that came out of this book, other than just perspective, which I think was great, is the routine. You know, that I've kind of set up now, where I'm spending certain blocks of time, during the day, and trying to be very rigorous about and protective, of some of those times where I'm not trying to spend first thing in the morning. I'm trying to do that planning time and Bible study time and those kinds of things. And it's really been a very positive experience. So
two thumbs up for What's Best Next. And thanks for giving us lots to talk about this podcasting season. We've done it, I think, maybe since September of last year.
Yeah.
So we've spent a good bit of time in the book and enjoyed it, heard feedback from others that are using it. And I think it's been a positive, productive time that we've spent.
I would say that if any of our listeners have ideas for maybe what book we would take next fall, let us know. If you've read a particularly good book on, any topic. We've covered things on productivity. We've talked about brain activity and what the internet's doing to our brain. We've done lots of different kinds of genres of books. And if you've got one that you think might be helpful for others, and we'd like to hear and maybe pick it and read it. So, and regardless of if we put it on the show or review it on the show, we'd love to get any feedback in that regard as well.
Definitely.
Sally, shall we move right along to news in tech?
Yeah, we have a lot to share this week. News in tech is just a reminder about an upcoming online conference being sponsored by Google. It's called Google for Education on Air. It's going to happen May 8th and 9th, and that's a Friday and a Saturday. So on Friday, they're going to have a real kind of who's who, rigorous kind of speaker content that you can tune into and watch live. On Saturday, it's going to be a lot larger with a lot more specific, more hands-on examples, that kind of thing. And it's actually going to run across the entire 24-hour period based on the standard time set around the world, so that it'll be a global conference. It's free to register and be part of, watch the live sessions. They're kind of shaping up what's going to be happening. They have an agenda posted on the website, Education on Air with Google.com. So you can see actually what the different panels and topics are going to be on both days. One of the promotional emails that came out this week featured David Chan. That's actually someone we've interviewed for Wells Tech before, Martin. I don't know if you remember, but a few summers ago, I went to Google Summit, and he was one of the presenters at Wisconsin Lutheran College. So he's going to be one of those on Saturday that leads one of the breakout sessions with more of the hands-on stuff. His session is titled Empowering Students, and he's going to talk about a student tech support program, kind of like what Drew Willems has put in place at Shoreland Lutheran High School, where you have the students doing the help desk kind of support, and they're learning in the process, and just a win-win for everyone involved. So tune in for that with David Chan on Saturday the 9th, and tune in for the whole conference. It's free.
Yep. And the site is really well done, gives you kind of the blow by blow of what to expect. And sounds like you can tune in and out, you know, and to things as they interest you. I'm sure that many of our teachers can't get away for a full day, but maybe you've got a free hour or whatever, and can block some time out and tune in for part of that. So there's no harm in signing up. It's free. Mm-hmm. Let's move along to our Wells Now section. And news just came out that if you live in the Midwest, I guess we could extend it that far, we have another Brewers game, Wells Night at the Brewers game scheduled. And it is scheduled for, what's the date?
August 14th.
Pardon me?
August 14th.
August 14th. That's what it is. August 14th. Registration is obviously, you know, online, or your ability to grab tickets. I know a lot of congregations made that kind of a Wells Night for their church, and we've got a nice block of seats there. President Schrader, we believe, will be able to throw out the first pitch. Just fair warning, he's a lefty. But we should get a lot of billing there. We had a great time and hope to have even more. So if you are interested in attending a Brewers game for Wells Night, that's now been set up. I don't think registration is open yet.
Well, it's talking about early bird registration has been extended to April 15th. So that means early bird ends tomorrow. Oh, no, I'm sorry. There's a mixture of articles on this page. Yep. That's our early bird that ends
tomorrow. That's our early bird. Speaking of which, early bird registration for the Wells Tech Conference is ending April 15th, tax day. So if you're listening to this on the 15th, please rush over to wells.net/WellsTechConf to get signed up for what's shaping up to be just an awesome conference. We've had good registration flow coming in. Some classes are already filled. You will want to make sure that you get over there and take advantage of that $25 per person savings if you are thinking about going.
And you'll also want to check out something brand new on the Wells Tech Conference site. We're opening up an opportunity for attendees to speak at our Friday night Ignite session. So we want you to ignite us, get us fired up for some of the tech and ministry success you've experienced in your own congregations. And it's going to be a fun evening. We have ideas here if you'd like to consider speaking. We just have a few thrown out here to get you started thinking about it. We're giving away a Windows tablet to those who are chosen to present that evening, and we're doing it in a really interesting format, Martin. We're going to do some pika kucha. Is that how you say it?
There's a lot of debate on how it's pronounced, but that was close enough, I think. Pika kucha for jazz. Yes. We're limiting it to 12 presenters. That's all the time we have. And it's basically 20 slides, 20 seconds per slide. It's timed. So your talk has to be timed to PowerPoint slides. And you can present on anything that you want related to tech and ministry. So it's open to anybody. And we will do a drawing. And one of the 12 will win a WinBook TW700 Windows tablet. Very cool little device, but can be really a presentation on anything, but we do need people to sign up for it to be considered, and if you're one of the 12 that presented, we'll put you in the drawing. But that'll be kind of a fun night, because who knows what will be presented. It's just kind of people's experiences, and we'll have a good time that night.
Yeah. And we'll still have Saturday to be able to network with these people and learn more about it if you have questions or whatever. So I'm looking forward to that evening.
Yep, me too.
I don't know what we call this
anymore. Wells Now.
Wells Now. One more thing to talk about now about Wells, and that's from our Wells Hymnal Project. They've put together a favorite hymn survey. And so they're looking for feedback on what your favorite hymns are from Christian Worship, Christian Worship Supplement, the Lutheran Hymnal, those hymns that aren't part of Christian Worship, and Let All the People Praise You. So those are four different hymnal options that you can pick from and share what your favorite hymns are. What a neat opportunity to be part of the hymnal efforts as this group works toward a new hymnal publication sometime around 2020? Is that when it's scheduled, Martin?
TBD. We're still working on that date. It's probably going to be before then, I'm thinking.
All right.
I'm not making any predictions. There's a couple different ways you can take this survey. Apparently, you can take the more advanced survey and do a more of a hymn rating, complete hymn rating form, and that's kind of fun. So,
cool.
Tell us what you think.
Options. All right.
Let's move along to our picks of the week.
And my pick comes from the CK through 12 website. CK through 12 is open source education resources. And this week they announced that they now have Apple, iOS, and Android mobile devices. So you can watch videos, you can get learning exercises. They have a dashboard that you can make use of, and it's sized for iPad or smartphone and adaptive, just like their normal learning resources are. You can take it. It'll rank your skills and give you appropriate questions to go along with your skill level. So if you're a fan of CK through 12, I'm guessing you don't want to waste any time. Get on over there and get the mobile applications. If you aren't familiar with it, you might want to check out CK through 12 for all the open source learning resources they have available on their site.
Very nice.
That's my pick.
Okay. My pick this week is in the spirit of tax day, and it's called creditkarma.com. A lot of these credit reporting services, credit monitoring services, you kind of have to be real careful because you get on a list and sometimes you have to offer a credit card and it's hard to get or remember to cancel the subscription, those kinds of things. But this one I did a lot of reviewing on. I was looking for some kind of solution that that does a nice job with this. And Credit Karma is the one that I came across, one, because they have a website and a iOS and Android apps. So it took me all of maybe 3 minutes to enter my information. And of course, they require Social Security number, and then you have to verify some of the things that might appear on your credit report, who your car loan is with, et cetera, those kinds of things, just to verify that you are who you say you are. But once that's up and running, really nicely done app. It'll give you your credit scores based on TransUnion and Equifax, two of the three major players. It gives you kind of a rundown of your credit history and why your credit report reads the way it reads and why the number is what it is. They offer advice on, lower credit card interest rates and those kinds of things. They have easy to read articles, tools, and calculators. The whole community there. Very secure application. And then it gives you, on their website, gives you a little bit of information about how they work, what information they take, and what they do with that information. But nice little app. I installed it on my Android phone and worked like a charm. Really, it was a quick process. They have other tools on here, mortgage calculators and those kinds of things. Just a nice little tool if you're interested in staying on top of your credit. Maybe you're buying a house, buying a car, whatever. It's good to know what your credit rating is. And it also is good to stay on top of that in case things start happening with that number. You will get notified that, hey, something is not right here. And identity theft is really prevalent these days. This is just another good reason to kind of keep track of what's going on and who's requesting credit. If you weren't, then who was? So nice little app. Free. There's no charge for it.
So I have a a different slant on identity theft. It seems like maybe this should be a regular slot on our show these days because it's mm-hmm. so prevalent. But a friend told me that they submitted their taxes online. Everybody's trying to get that finished up. And when they did, the IRS informed them that their tax has already been submitted with that social security number.
Ouch.
So apparently that's a whole scam thing that people submit fraudulent tax, get the refund, you know, submit it fraudulently, get the refund. And someone, you know, through the course of discussion said they had seen a report on it that people make $5,000 a day or whatever. Maybe they submit 10 fraudulent tax returns per day and get three or four of them through and get money. And it's just sad.
Yep.
This friend told me that as soon as it popped up, it said, if this is fraud, you know, here's what you need to do. So it's so prevalent, you know, they have excellent help about it and stuff, but sad, sad to hear.
Yep. Yep.
So be on guard. Yep. So,
all right, let's move to our community feedback section, Sally.
Yeah, I have lots to share here. Lots of cool stuff going on. First of all, Martin, I think you have an audio feedback to play for us.
Yeah, we got a voicemail in this week. Yay. from Bob Meister from Carmel,
Indiana,
Bethlehem Lutheran in Carmel. So here, let me play this.
Hi, I'm Bob Meister with Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Carmel, Indiana. What I can share with your group is how we are broadcasting our services live and pretty inexpensively. Over the years, we've made archives of our services and put them on the web together with an audio recording, copy of the sermon, and a copy of the video. Those videos are stored up on YouTube, and so the backlinks give our website a little more juice, so to speak. But about a year ago, we started broadcasting the services actually live. This isn't just for shut-ins. It's for anybody that just can't get to church on Sunday or most recently on Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, or even some of the Lenten services. I'll be glad to show anybody that's interested how to deploy such a system and what services we purchased to economically allow this. As I did my research, I found that there's a number of content delivery systems out there that are pretty expensive, and the one we chose is pretty inexpensive. Works pretty well. In any case, feel free to give me a call, 317.
And we'll stop the voicemail there. If you want to get in touch with Bob to find out what they're doing specifically at Bethlehem there in Carmel, I believe it's pronounced. Send us an email at wellstech@wells.net or put a comment in the show notes, and we'll get back to you with information on how to get in touch with Bob. Bob, thank you very much for sharing that information. This is, Sally, something that I know a lot of churches are trying to figure out, a lot of options out there. Final Web has a solution for live streaming that I know you're familiar with. I've been also recommending just YouTube or Google Hangouts would work as well. So lots of different ways to do it.
Definitely. So I surfed over and took a look at the Bethlehem website. They have a page just dedicated to their live stream. And I also found that they are listed on our WellsTech Wiki on the live stream services page. So if you're live streaming and aren't yet listed, we'd love to add you to this page. Just request an account and you can actually add yourself on the page. So, or if you're looking for a service, this is a great resource. Tag this page and you can watch live streaming if you're not able to make it to church on Sunday. And there's the Bethlehem link right there that'll get you to their live stream. Thanks, Bob, for calling in.
Yep, very much. And if you'd like to leave your own voicemail, it's not hard. Just go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. And over on the right-hand side, there's a little blue bar that says send voicemail, and it'll ask if your computer can use your microphone, and you just talk, and then you hit stop, and that's all there is to it. So
pretty easy.
Couldn't be easier. So.
Yeah. You know, I said I had a lot of feedback, but actually I think you have a lot of feedback, Martin, because now it's your turn again to talk about something that you pinned on Pinterest. Go Martin Spriggs.
Isn't that a miracle? In and of itself.
It's just a natural thing to do, actually.
I created, I even created a board the other day. I can't tell you what it was about, but it was not all that painful. But The article that I pinned was actually not something that I found myself, but something my wife came across because she teaches language arts. And it is from a blog called Where Writers Win. It's not a site I had been familiar with, but apparently she uses it quite often. The article that she was sharing with me was the 7 most useful writing apps for authors. And quite a collection of different apps that are available. Write or Die was one of the apps that she was referencing in particular, great for procrastinators, dictation apps, all kinds of little things that are helpful to writers. So if you're interested in elevating either your own authorship or using it in a classroom situation for your students, that may be something you would take a look at. So,
fun stuff on there.
Yep.
And Martin, if that weren't enough, you were tweeting this week as well.
Yeah, ran across a little blog post about something that Microsoft is releasing, a new app, and I haven't tried this yet, and I'm really excited to do it, though. A new app that lets you control PowerPoint presentations with your Android device. I did install it, but I haven't used it yet. If it works like others, you need to be on the same Wi-Fi network. iPhones and Keynote presentations do have done this for a long time now. Microsoft is enabling this with an Android app that allows you to advance slides, do previews. You can see speaker notes. I think this would be particularly useful on a tablet where you can get a little bit bigger view. You can go from slide to slide. You can see what the next slide is. Navigation seems to be pretty easy, at least from their screenshots. And it's free. Microsoft is really doing a nice job with their mobile apps, and this is just another integration that they're putting together to try and make it a little bit more friendly for you.
Excellent. Good find. All right. A few more things to share in our community feedback section. First, from Pastor Rob Gunther up at Grace in Kenai, Alaska. He shared a link to Font Squirrel, which is subtitled 100% free for commercial use. And Rob wrote and said, you probably know that I love free things. And I think we all do. Maybe that's a sub theme of the Wells Tech podcast. But if we can find it for free, that's great stewardship, isn't it? So if you're looking for a special font, you may find it over on Font Squirrel. So check it out. They have hundreds of fonts. So
yeah, Sally, were you familiar with this site before Rob brought it to our attention?
No, but I had used another one, Font Park, maybe. I think
yep.
It was called.
Yep, and I think we've referenced some of these in some other, or maybe our webmaster series.
Sure.
Maybe it's even on our wiki. This would probably be something good to put on the wiki. But yeah, I'd seen this and used this before with some app development, and these are really good finds. You really don't have to be limited to you know, just the fonts that are provided in whatever tool you're using. You've got a lot of different options out there. So thanks for sharing that, Rob. Good stuff.
Yeah. For those of us with these fancy cutting machines, it's really fun to have more fonts.
Yeah, perfect application. Huh?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. All right. Next up, Professor James Karlovsky shared a link to an article on Noodle.com, and it's titled The 32 Most Innovative Online Educational Tools to Use in 2015. I love these kind of lists, and especially when my friend James vets them for me and tells me he found lots of good stuff on them, because they're just a great source for picks of the week and such. I'll definitely be checking out a lot of these resources. Some are familiar. There's Edmodo, which we've talked about before, and Kahoot, which we've talked about
before. That one.
Yep. But there are many new ones on this list as well. And I think, you know, all of us, especially in the education spectrum, are being challenged to be on top of the innovation that's available to us. And it doesn't have to be pricey or big. It can be small, subtle changes that make your classroom more efficient by using technology tools like these. This Desmos calculator is an amazing graphing calculator. So for those of you with Chromebooks in students' hands, you don't need to also make them buy a TI whatever calculator. You can use Desmos to do all kinds of graphing and so on. So great list, lots to explore here, and expect to hear more from this list on coming episodes of Wells Tech. Thanks, Professor Karlovsky. And then finally, one link from me. It's to an Edutopia article written by the Cool Cat teacher, Vicki Davis. She's very well known in ed tech circles. And she wrote an article, actually it's an older article, which was recently updated, 15 plus ways of teaching every student to code, even without a computer. So this is really would go hand in hand with what we've put together in our technology area of our Wells Tech Goes to School series, but they have things for the youngest student all the way up. So it's kind of age segmented, and there's all kinds of coding opportunities out there these days. So if you're looking to get started, just pick one and give it a try. She gives you a good explanation of lots of different resources for teaching coding. So check it out.
Very nice.
I think that's going to wrap up community feedback.
We've already mentioned ways to contribute to the show. Again, go to wellstech.wells.net. We're on all the social networks. Love your feedback. Please share with the class. That's good stuff. That's one of my favorite segments. Related topic, and that's ministry resources that we have come up with. Saw something in my inbox that I felt was probably worth sharing, and that is from our friends at Concordia Technology Solutions. 7 Reasons Pastors Love Church Management Software, a white paper that they have put together that might be interesting for those of you that are maybe responsible for the administration of your church. And church management software means a lot of things to different people. Sometimes it's just tracking attendance, but other times it's prospect management, elder visits, nurture visits, all those kinds of things can be, I think, enhanced, augmented by good church management software. Now, they have skin in the game because they have a product, which we actually think pretty highly of, their Church 360 product. But nonetheless, probably worth a read for this stuff. So,
yep, and they'll have a companion webinar next Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Central. So if you have a few minutes to tune in, you can listen to Peter Frank. He's been on our podcast a few times now, Martin, and he will talk a little bit through these 7 reasons pastors love church management.
Not only is he doing this, he will be at our Wells Tech Conference.
That's right. That's right.
Doing something very similar. So, mm-hmm. The other ministry, you know, we're doing a double header on our ministry resources this week.
That doesn't happen often, does it?
Yep. Wanted to share just kind of something that I've found very useful that I think all of you would as well, and that is the verse of the day that's available through Wells Mobile. Now, I pull that through the app from Bible Gateway because they do a verse of the day. So I grab the NIV, and all you have to do is download the Wells Mobile app, and then on the very home screen of the app is the verse of the day. And that verse of the day varies, but each verse is usually seasonal. We did a lot of Lenten stuff and Easter stuff now, but just usually one verse. Sometimes it's you challenge yourself to do a memorization. There are quick links there that you can easily share them on your favorite social network, email them or text them. One of the ways that I use the verse of the day is kind of as a devotional in the morning. Like I mentioned when we were talking about the book in our opening segment, part of my routine is to get up and spend time with God's Word. And this is a piece of that process where I will take the verse of the day and I'll just do a little study of it. I'll just do a little journaling on it and publish that. So what I do is just use my blog as a little publishing tool. I might as well, if I'm writing on a verse, I might as well share that just to record it. And if somebody else wants to read it, fine. It's not any great work of art or theology, but it does kind of dig into certain things that I felt were meaningful to me. So I put that on my blog and I, tag it, categorize it, and it kind of keeps me honest too. So if I go a longer time where I'm not doing it, that means that I'm not in, doing the thing that I really wanted to do and get dive into God's word. And, I found it real helpful to kind of look at that verse of the day. And it gets me into the mobile app, too, because I use other pieces of that in the morning where I play the audio devotion and through the Bible reading. So, I've got a good 45 minutes in the morning in God's word, and this is just kind of the result of that. So just thought I'd share that as a ministry resource. That verse of the day is it's a great, awesome resource to just quickly look at, pray about, meditate on, journal about, whatever, however you want to use it. It's out there. So
I have my own way of using the verse of the day, Martin. I often take the verse of the day and turn it into imagery so that I can pin it or share it on Facebook or whatever.
That's a great idea too, Sally. Yeah, I like
and
that.
And you actually taught us how to do that in our Bible app.
Through the Bible.com or the Bible app. Right. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, they have a verse of the day, but it's not the same one, I don't believe, that's shared through Bible Gateway. But I'm sure it's equally as relevant. So, cool.
I'm kind of partial to the Wells verse of the day. I stick with it. So,
yeah. All right. We do have a featured video this week. I thought that with summer coming up and there are many opportunities here in spring to break out the camera. And one of the most challenging parts of the camera is exposure. And there's a bunch of great resources out there for this, but there's a whole series by the Adorama people who are basically resellers of photographic equipment. But there's a great series by Mark Wallace called The Understanding Exposure. This is just the first video in that series that we'll put in our playlist, but there's a whole series on understanding exposure, talking about shutter speed, aperture, ISO settings. So if you've got one of those cameras that will do that, and in fact, a lot of smart cameras today, or a lot of smartphones today, even allow you to control some of that stuff, probably worth just taking a look at these videos. They're excellently done. Just a little bit better understanding of why, when you're trying to take a picture of somebody and they're in front of a window, it doesn't always turn out. This will tell you why and how to correct for that. So,
yeah, you might actually motivate me, Martin, to turn it off the automatic setting. I have this lovely Nikon, can do so much for me, but it takes great pictures on automatic. So yep. I have to learn a little bit more. So maybe this is a series
for me. You can make even better pictures.
All right. Very good.
What are we doing next week, Sally? I assume we're going to come back and do this one more time.
I think we are. Next week, we are talking about worship planning, something that many people are often involved in, from your church musicians and your altar committee, your elders for communion, as well as that guy, the pastor, that's got the final say on worship planning. There's lots of tools out there to help with it. There's lots of ways to do it, and we're going to hopefully share some good ideas to assist with worship planning.
That's a topic we talk about a lot on the hymnal committee as we're trying to build resources around that. And that's one of the biggies. How do we do worship planning with the new hymnal? And a lot of it is going to be digital. So
great.
So tune in next week for that. Sally, thanks so much for your work, your companionship. I want to share that my good pal Sally Draper is advancing her educational chops through study at Boise State.
Working on a master's degree.
And I had some great feedback from a recent project. What was the project again, Sally, that you were working on?
I shared it recently on the show, Martin. It was Badge EDU, a website for teachers to learn how to award badges in their classroom.
Yep, and got good marks. So as we knew our Sally would do. So keep up the good work, Sally. Congrats.
Thank you.
And please continue to share, because I think that most of the stuff sounds like that you're taking there would be really relevant for what we talk about on the show. So
I sure hope so. Yeah.
Deal. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Come back and chat with us again next week. Bye-bye.